Luke chapter 2. Everybody open your Bibles. Children, open your Bibles. I want you to read along with me. I want you to see it. And I want you to take our word for it. Read along with us. If you don't have a Bible, we have some out in the foyer. We will give you. Luke chapter 2. We're going to read verses 1 through 14, then we'll focus on two verses. Luke 2, 1 through 14, read along. In those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went out to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the home and the lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in clothes, swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you, and you will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with them an angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased." We're going to focus on verses 10 and 11. I'm going to read those again. Look at verse 10 and 11. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." I'm going to try to keep this short. That's a little difficult, so bear with me. Three things I want to point out in that text. Number one, that the gospel is good news. Number two, that Jesus is the Savior. And then I want to talk about this great joy. That's going to be the focus of what I want to get to. First of all, the gospel is good news. Before the gospel is anything, brothers and sisters, it is good news. And I want to remind you that with good news is first to be proclaimed. A few weeks ago, we talked about the responsibility of every true believer to be a proclaimer of the gospel. So recognize this, good news is to be proclaimed before it's to be debated, considered, or anything. It is first to be proclaimed. When Quincy came and told me, "We're expecting a child," that was good news, and the first thing he did was proclaim it. We're expecting a child. We have good news. The Messiah has come, and it is to be proclaimed first. That's what you do with good news. You proclaim it. As we're coming now to the end of this year, one of the greatest things you can do right now is between now and the new year is spend time reflecting back on your year, spiritually speaking. Did I glorify God this year? What areas could I grow better in this year? And one of the things I pray concerning the message I preached a few weeks ago concerning boldness in your preaching, I pray that you look and say, did I proclaim this good news this year? Am I ashamed of the good news of Jesus Christ? Because brothers and sisters, it's good news. I know the dying world doesn't see it as good news, but that's not up to you, that's up to Him. Only He can make people see that this is good news, but it's good news. And your job is to proclaim that good news. Did you proclaim it? You say, "Oh, I lived Christ." You live Christ, you can proclaim Christ. You don't keep it to yourself. So did you proclaim this good news this year? Do you see it as good news? And did you proclaim it as good news? You're called to do that. So please, this year, reflect. Did I proclaim this good news to people? Did I keep it all to myself? That's selfishness. You've got the greatest thing in the world, the gospel. It's good news. Proclaim it. Proclaim it. Reflect. Why did I not proclaim it? We talked about why. You're afraid of the fear of man. You don't want to be rejected by man. You don't want to be thought of as one of those people. You need prayer. You need the strength of the Holy Spirit so you will not fear man anymore. And you will see this is good news and you'll proclaim it. And then wait for God to awaken men and draw them unto Himself. So the gospel is good news. Good news is to be proclaimed. You don't keep good things. Quincy couldn't keep it. He was bursting. A baby's coming. How can you keep Christ? He's come. He's accomplished. Repent and believe the gospel. Okay. Second, what is this good news? Jesus Christ is the Savior. That's the good news. Look what it said in verse 10 again. The angel said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." Verse 11, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord." That's the good news. The Savior, the Messiah, has come. The angels proclaimed, "We bring you good news." The good news, the Messiah has come. It's Jesus. It's Christ. As Brother Robert read in Matthew's Gospel, "They shall call His name Emmanuel," meaning God with us. God has come in Christ. Jesus is not a prophet or a mere teacher. He's God. God came in the flesh and dwelt among men. He's the Messiah. Listen, the scriptures are clear. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. The scriptures are clear that no one can come to the Father except through the Son. There's no coming to the Father except through the Son. God has made one way for you to be forgiven and to be able to have relation with Him. That's through His Son, Jesus Christ. Now, as a believer, we recognize the ramifications of that statement. Anyone who is not in Christ is lost and will perish. Yes, all the Muslims will perish. All the Hindus will perish. All the Buddhists will perish. And all those of false Christ gospels, in other words, the adding to Jesus' Christ's finished work, will perish. And you begin to see why God said, "Few will enter, and many will go to the gate that leads to destruction." Few. So, knowing that, go back to that first call of the proclamation of the gospel, which you've been graciously given, and proclaim that truth. But there is no other name given on earth by which men can be saved except Jesus Christ. Oprah Winfrey is wrong. You ever seen her little clip? There can't be just one way. You see, what she's doing is she's thinking about the ramifications. If there is just one way, then all this is going to hell. So there just can't be one way. We get our doctrine from Scripture, not from talk shows. There is one way. It's Jesus Christ. And the ramifications of that statement are very weighty. They should burden you. They should drive you to prayer. They should drive you to forsake all to proclaim Christ to the lost. One of the prayers me and my boys pray most nights is that if God would choose to take my boys and send them to some far-off nation where Christ's name has not been preached, that He would do that. He would rise up my boys and send them off. But if He keeps them here, wherever He takes these boys, my prayer is that they go and proclaim Christ. I will know that I have done well as a father if the end of my boy's life, Christ has been proclaimed in them and through them. Quincy and Kim and all parents here, I pray that is your prayer for your children. Nothing, everything else is for loss. It is, it's for loss if Christ isn't proclaimed. Make that the focus of it. But Oprah Winfrey is wrong. There's only one way. It is through repenting and believing in Christ, Jesus Christ. I'll tell you this. If you say you believe Jesus is the way, but you believe there are other ways, I want you to know you're lost and you don't know Jesus. If you say that Jesus Christ is the way, but you say there are other ways, then you're lost. Because that is a rejection of what Christ has said by saying, I'm the only way. And you can't have it both ways. And if it makes you uncomfortable that all the other ways lead to destruction, as deceitful as they may be, and as earthly loving as they may appear, if it is not in Christ and through Christ, it is a path to eternal damnation. And we have the good news. We've got the truth. And I pray you give your life. I pray you give 2012 to getting that message across to a dying world. And as Brother Robert talked about, you will suffer. And if you suffer for righteousness' sake, don't be ashamed of that. Rejoice in that. Glory in God in that. For all those who desire to live obedience will face persecution. You will suffer. It's been granted unto you not only to believe in the name of Christ, but also to suffer on His account. Count it all joy if you suffer for the name of Christ. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. He was born of a virgin. He lived a perfectly righteous life, never sinning and fulfilling the law. He willingly went to the cross and He laid down His life. He stood in our guilty place. He took our sins upon His shoulders and He endured the wrath of God, which is hell. He endured the wrath of God in our place, and then Jesus Christ died. And then Jesus Christ was buried. And then Jesus Christ 3 days later was raised. And Jesus Christ stands before every human being and demands a response. Repent and believe the gospel is the call of the gospel. And by ignoring it or turning away from it, you reject it. But it demands a response from every human being. And every human being will give an account one day. Jesus Christ is the Messiah. This is our hope. This is our gospel. We need a Savior. And God sent one. Jesus Christ. One. He accomplished salvation. He purchased forgiveness with His own blood. He came, as Brother Robert said, to die. Jesus Christ isn't the backup plan. He is the plan. The reason why this world was created so that Christ could come into it and God could be glorified through His Son dying in the place of sinful man. That's why the world was created. It wasn't, oops, Adam and Eve sinned. Now what are we going to do? My whole plans have ruined. No, He was created for, or the world was created for Christ to come in and save. And I want to remind everybody this, and children, listen up. You are not saved because you go to this church. You are not saved because your mom and dad believe in Jesus Christ. You're not saved because you read your Bible. You are saved if you believe in the finished work of Jesus Christ. If you have put your hope and faith in Him. If you're looking to Him as your only hope and faith. That is what saves people. Jesus Christ has accomplished it. You contribute nothing to your salvation other than your sinfulness. That's all you bring to the table, is a wretched sinfulness. And Christ says, I've accomplished salvation. Believe on me and you shall be saved. That's how you're saved. Okay, part number three. The final part says that the angel said, fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. One thing real quick in that. Whenever you see the word all in the Bible, it does not mean every single human being that has ever lived. Because Jesus Christ is not great news to everybody. In fact, most people hate Jesus Christ. They hate Him. So all people is not every single person that's ever lived. Okay? Not every person that's ever lived has even heard of Christ. Okay, so they don't rejoice in Him. And those who have heard of Him, the great majority of the Scriptures teach us, reject Him as Lord and Savior in their life. So this isn't great joy for most people. They hate Him. Now the great news was that the Savior has come. And I don't ask this question jokingly, but just think about it for a minute. What is so great about the Savior coming? And I don't say that joking. I want you to think, what's so great about the Savior coming? Most of us might answer that question with this. Well, since there's a Savior, we can be forgiven of our sins and not go to hell. And that's great news, great joy. And it is great news. And it is great joy that you don't go to hell. But I believe, although I believe that to be true, I believe it stops short of the real great joy that the gospel brings. The great joy in salvation is not merely the forgiveness of sins and not going to hell. The great joy of salvation is that what the forgiveness of sins brings us to. Think about that. There's great joy that you're not going to go to hell and perish forever like you deserve. That should make everybody smile, but I don't think that's the end of the great joy that salvation brings. Again, the great joy of salvation is not merely in the forgiveness of sins, but rather what the forgiveness of sins brings us to. What it brings us to is to God. Through Jesus Christ. What forgiveness of sins does is it brings you to God to know Him and enjoy Him forever. You see, the great joy of salvation is being for. If the great joy of salvation is being forgiven of sins and not going to hell, then we know this. A person who's not born again can want that. Does that make sense? In other words, nobody in the room here wants to go to hell. Nobody in the room wants to burn forever. And so that's why if the great joy of salvation is just that I don't go to hell and burn forever, you don't have to be born again to experience that great joy or that desire. But the Bible clearly teaches us you must be born again to enter the kingdom of God. So I believe this great joy is greater than not going to hell. Because children, let me ask you a question. Who wants to burn forever in eternal fire? Any takers? You see, it doesn't take a born again person to say, well, I don't want to go there. Nobody wants to go to hell and burn forever. And yes, there's great happiness and joy that you don't go to hell and burn forever. But it takes a born-again Christian to say this. That's not the end. It's what that brings me to. Is what the great joy of the gospel message is really all about. Salvation is about being forgiven of your sins so you can know God as your treasure, portion, and Father. Forever. You see, a lost man doesn't want that. I heard a preacher ask this question one time, and it really helps clear all this up, so I'll ask you guys it. He said this. If you could go to heaven when you die and be forgiven of your sins, and when you got to heaven, there were no more tears, there was no more pain and suffering, all your so-called desires were met, but God, Jesus Christ, wasn't there. Are you okay with that? And if we're honest, most of the lost world would say, yeah, I'm fine with that. Why? Because that's what they want. They don't want to be burning in hell forever. They don't want suffering. They don't want tears. They just want all of their so-called pleasures. And if God can give them that in this so-called person, Jesus, we'll take that. And that's what's being sold as Christianity in most places. Come to Jesus, you don't go to hell, pearly streets, and no more suffering or tears. You want it? Come on. That's not the gospel. That's not the gospel. It is true that we do not want to go into hell and perish as Christians, and we don't want to suffer anymore. That doesn't take to be born again to do that. The gospel message is this. Jesus Christ came to save you from hell and forgive you of your sins, but to save you unto God, to save you unto Himself. The true Christian would never say, yeah, that sounds good to me. They would never say, I'll take that if it's without Jesus. I mean, really, then Jesus just becomes a means to whatever He can give me. Jesus is not a means to give you your selfish pleasures. Jesus is a means to give you Himself. He saves you from your sin unto Himself. So the genuine Christian, the desire when they die is not just to not be suffering anymore. It is this. I want Jesus. I want to be with God forever. And if you are foreign to that desire, and I know that there are battles in this world for the true believer that try to win that from you. I'm aware of that. But if you're foreign to the desire that, you know what, if we go to heaven, whether Jesus is there or not, as long as there's no suffering, I'm okay. That is what most of Christianity says today. And those people are lost. They're lost. Because there's no glory in God in just saving you from hell, but not unto Himself. The glory of God is that He saves you from sins unto Himself. You see, when you're saved, He changes your heart. And your greatest portion, your greatest treasure, your greatest desire then becomes God. And I know that that grows over time as you become aware of what He's done for you. But if it's foreign concept to you that my treasure is Jesus, it's because you don't know Him. He didn't come just to keep you out of hell. He came you to bring you to Himself. And that's not a begrudging thing for the believer. That's their desire. It isn't all right for me to go to heaven and never suffer and not go to hell if Jesus isn't there. I don't want that. I want Jesus. God saves you unto Himself. You see, that's why the parable in Matthew 13:44. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and covered up. Then in his joy, he goes and sells all that he has and he buys that field. You see, when you're born again by God's grace, He takes out your heart and He gives you new desires, and your desire becomes for God. Your joy is no longer in what God can just give you. Your joy is for Him. You see, He becomes the end of all things. His glory is the end of all things. And if you think going to heaven is just not having suffering, you've missed the whole thing. If you think, oh, I can't wait till there's no more suffering and tears, you've missed it all. Because what makes heaven so glorious is Jesus Christ. That's what makes heaven so glorious. He saved you from hell. But that wasn't the end. You need to rejoice over that. That should bring great smiles. But that's not the end. The end is God. He saved you unto Himself. So this great joy that these shepherds are talking about is not just not going to hell. That's the means to the great joy which is found in knowing and treasuring Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. You see how most of Christianity whacks it off halfway through and celebrates not going to hell, and they don't celebrate the treasure of Jesus Christ. That's a great, great concern. If Jesus Christ is just your ticket out of hell, you've missed it. But if Jesus Christ is your portion and your treasure, and you long to be with Him forever, then you know Him. And that'll grow, and it'll grow, and it'll grow. Jesus Christ came and accomplished salvation. We are celebrating today, whether you put up a tree or give gifts, I don't care at all what you do there. That doesn't mean anything. I don't care about any of that. It's fine if you do, it's fine if you don't. Okay? But it's a good day to celebrate the birth of Christ. And I hope you have no objection to celebrating the birth of Christ. Every day of your life should be a celebration of the birth of Christ. Because without the birth of Christ, there's no death of Christ. Without the death of Christ, there's no forgiveness of sins. Without forgiveness of sins, there's no enjoying God forever. So you need to celebrate the birth, which leads to the life, which leads to the death, which leads to the resurrection, which leads to the forgiveness, which leads to enjoying God forever. Don't stop at forgiveness. That's a means to Him. That's great joy. God is great joy. Amen? All right, let's pray. God, don't let our gospel be man-centered. Let our gospel be glory of God-centered. Let it be magnifying of Christ. Don't let us stop at means, but let us stop at the end, which is You. God, we want to know You. We want to fellowship and commune with You forever. And Your Son has made the way. But let not all of our worship be just in the way being paved, but what it leads to. Let us enjoy You. God, I pray again that anybody here that looks at Christ just as the ticket out of hell would be awakened to the truth of the treasure of Jesus Christ. That He's our joy, He's our portion, He's our all in all. He's the preeminence of all things. Help us, God. Help us to be faithful. Help us to be biblical in all that we do. And glorify Jesus Christ in us and through us. And I pray that You pour out Your Spirit upon this local body, God. And You raise up people unashamed of the gospel. That we'll take this good news and proclaim it to a dying world. That if You should grant us 2012, God, that we would glorify You. And not being ashamed of the gospel. So do that work in my heart and in the people's hearts here. We love You. We praise You for sending Your Son, our hope, our Savior, and our treasure. And it's in His name that we commit these things. Amen.